Welcome to Gear Vlogs Automotive Podcast. I'm your host, Mario Gear, where I share my enthusiasm for all topics automotive. Welcome to the Gear Vlogs Podcast, episode 19. In today's video, I talk about the U.S. House of Representatives bill introduced to stop California's car ban. Then, Colorado's drafts electric vehicle plan will not include internal combustion engine ban. Lamborghini LB744, the strength of lightness. And how Porsche created a rare mirage for the next Transformers movie. Meet Project Cosmos, a 1,000-mile range, emission-free mega yacht from Apple Watch designer, and Tesla faces lawsuit for allegedly monopolizing parts and repairs. If this is your first time here, thanks for clicking on that play button. I'm Mario Gear, and I've been involved in the automotive industry for well over 15 years. And I'm here sharing my enthusiasm for all things automotive topics with you. So let's begin. U.S. House of Representatives bill introduced to stop California's car ban. Overview. U.S. Representative John Joyce, Republican from Pennsylvania, introduced a SEMA Action News Network-supported bill, H.R. 1435, to protect Americans' rights to choose the technology that power their motor vehicles. The Preservation Choice in Vehicles Purchase Act was introduced in response to California's plan to ban the sale of new gas and diesel-powered cars and trucks in 2035 unless certain conditions are met. If approved, H.R. 1435 would prevent the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency from allowing California's zero-emission vehicle regulations that would ban the sale or use of new motor vehicles with internal combustion engines from taking effect. So yeah, links to this article. Definitely contact your lawmakers if you're in favor of it or if you're opposed to it. There'll be links to how you can contact your lawmakers to show support or dissent to this particular bill, as well as links to share this among your friends, and as well as to subscribe to the SEMA Action News Network about any latest laws and legislations that may be affecting you in the automotive industry or automotive hobby field. So definitely worth checking out. Now on to the next story. Colorado drafts electric vehicle plan will not include internal combustion engine ban. At least somebody has some hindsight. Let's read this one here. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment issued the final draft of the state's 2023 Colorado Electric Vehicle Plan, which is intended to adopt later in 2023. Despite being a CARB state, the proposal does not follow California by banning the sale of new internal combustion engine powered vehicles. SEMA believes Coloradoans, not the government, should be allowed to choose the type of vehicle technology that best serves them and their families. Once adopted, the proposed rule will go into effect starting with model year 2027. SEMA will encourage its members and enthusiasts to comment on the proposal once it is officially considered later this year. So yeah, definitely subscribe to get updates of that if you're from Colorado or you just want to be able to voice your opinions and support it. So yeah, that's definitely something worth considering. In my own opinion, this whole legislation ban about banning the sale of internal combustion engines on new vehicles is being pushed a little too soon. And it's bad enough that the automakers are already trying to adopt it already just by looking at all of the offerings and all of the commercial ads you're seeing now from the automakers pushing for EVs. I get it that they are heavily investing in it. I understand it, but you got to realize it's just simple. It's like, we do not have the infrastructure for it. Be it Tesla charging stations or Electrified America charging stations to power up these vehicles. We don't have the infrastructure grid set up for it yet. It's pretty pathetic when you have the state of, California's governor, signs this bill law banning internal combustion engine vehicles one day, and then the following week he's getting on the news telling everybody to conserve power, do not charge your electric vehicles, because of potential brown outages. And to top things off now, with another case example, they're trying to ban, like they say, gas-powered stoves, for various emission reasons. You want to ban that. So how are people who are affected by a power outage to A, heat their homes, and B, potentially heat up and cook food, boil water, if they can't even turn on their stove because no power for the stove? But if they had a gas stove, they could do that. Show me the logic in that one. So, sorry for my little rant on that one, but let's move on to the next story. Lamborghini LB744, the strength of lightness. For 60 years, Automobilia Lamborghini has been synonymous with cutting-edge innovation. Just a few weeks ahead of launching the first hybrid plug-in V12 high-performance electrified vehicle, or HPEV, the Saint Augusta Bolognese brand unveils a technical solution that is unique in today's automotive landscape. The LB744 is based on a new aeronautic-inspired chassis, the monofuselage. I hope I pronounced that one right. As well as a monocoque made entirely of multi-technology carbon fiber. It features a front structure in forged composite, a special material made of short carbon fiber stroked in resin. This technology was patented and used by Lamborghini in its first structural application as far back as 2008. The monofuselage represents a significant step forward from the Aventador in terms of torsional stiffness, lightweightness, qualities, and driving dynamics. What's more, the LB744 is the first super sports car to be fitted with a 100% carbon fiber front structural. Carbon fiber is also used in the front cone structures to ensure a level of energy absorption that is significantly higher when compared to traditional metal structures. Double that of the Aventador Ultimum aluminum front end, combined with substantial reduction in weight. Ugh, tongue twister there. In fact, the LB744 monofuselage is 10% lighter than the Aventador chassis, and the front frame is 20% lighter than its aluminum predecessor. The torsional stiffness has also been improved with a value of 40,000 nanometers, up to about 25% compared to the Aventador, and guaranteeing best-in-class dynamic capabilities. The design concept underlying the development of the new monofuselage is based on the maximum integration between components. This is optimized thanks to the introduction of extensive forged composites technology, as well as the development of the monolithic rocker ring. This use of carbon fiber makes the LB74 unique in the super sports car arena. The single element ring shape component is made of CFRP, which stands for carbon fiber reinforced plastic, and forms the supporting structure of the car. The rocker ring encloses and connects the forged composites elements, such as the tub, the front firewall, and A-pillars. The production of forged composite components also optimize efficiency and increases stability during the manufacturing process by reducing the energy consumption of cooling equipment and quality of waste material. The more traditional but less efficient technology of autoclave composite production with pre-impregned materials was retained for the roof construction. The autoclave carbon fiber meets high technical, aesthetic, and quality requirements compared by craftsmanship in the highly specialized hand layup process, which results from years of quality-driven in-house production of composite materials components. It is a manufacturing decision that also gives the customer maximum versatility in roof customization. The rear chassis is made of high-strength aluminum alloy and features two important hollow castings in the rear dome area. These integrate the rear suspensions, shocks, towers, and powertrain suspension into a single component with closed inertia profile, guaranteeing a significant reduction in weight, an increase in rigidity, and substantially reduction in weld lines. The LB744 represents a new year zero in relations to the use of the carbon fiber in car production, summed up in a acronym AIM: Automation, Integration, Modularity. Automation refers to the introduction of automated and digitalized processes into the material transformation while preserving traditional Lamborghini manufacturing, such as in the discipline of composites. Integration relates to the integration of several functions into the single component through the development of compression molding. This process uses preheated polymers to enable the production of the components with a wide range of lengths, thicknesses, and complexities, ensuring optimum integration between components to guarantee high tolerance stiffness. Finally, modularity, referring to the making the applied technology modular, therefore more flexible and efficient to respond to all production requirements and characteristics. Boy, that was a technical go through on from Lamborghini. And I guess here's some of the pictures that they have here of the car, how it's set up. Well, there we go. Comment below what you think. You think we're getting too fancy with carbon fiber or whatnot? On to the next story. How Porsche created a rare mirage for the next Transformers movie. I've never even seen a 911 Carrera RS 3.8, but I had to go out and make five of them. Interesting on this one. Let's keep reading. Austin, Texas. Cool cars are essential to the Transformers movie franchise. With vehicles such as the Chevy Camaro integrably connected to the Autobots characters such as Bumblebee, the star of the latest installment, Transformers Rise of the Beast, out on June 9th, is the rare and revered Porsche 911 Carrera RS 3.8, which transforms into a cocky Autobot Mirage voiced by Pete Davidson. Little is known about the movie and Mirage other than what fans could glean from the 30-second teaser for the film that debuted during the recent Super Bowl. But it is clear the silver and blue striped classic Porsche has a starring role since it's the ride of the leading man, Anthony Ramis. And it's the can create multiple versions of itself to evade police like any Decepticons in pursuit. At South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, this past weekend, the movie producers and several principals from Porsche who supported the making of the film shared a stage and revealed a bit more about the iconic car's role and what it takes to prepare a classic Porsche for the rigors of a big-budget action film. Only 55 1993 Porsche 911 Carrera RS 3.8s were built as a one-off homologation special for the 3.8 RSR race car, and the model has sold for more than $1.5 million at auction. So replicas had to be built for the movie. We wouldn't want to wreck a historic car like that, said Owen Shively, CEO of RTTM, which represents Porsche Cars North America in entertainment and production placement. Shively oversaw building of the 911 Carrera RS 3.8 replicas. I've never even seen one, but I had to go out and make five of them in a very short order, he said. It helped that while the 911 Carrera RS 3.8 is unique, it shares a chassis with the 911 across more than three decades. Good to know there. It has the same general shell, said Shively, which allows us to do that. It is the 911 tub from 65 through 98, but you can use that base and build it into a RS 3.8. When it came to sourcing parts to create authentic replicas for the movie, which is set in 1994, it also helped that Shively knows 1990 Porsches and a lot of their owners. I was fortunate that in the 1990s, I worked at a Porsche shop in Reno called Sport Haas, managing the parts department, Shively said. With my background in motorsports and with Porsche, we were able to go to owners and find spare parts. People just open their garage to us. Wow. That's a lot of spare parts to get from private collectors just to build replicas. Okay. That's a very unique thing. film producer Lorenzo Di Bonaventura said, "I've worked with a lot of brands, but the passage of the Porsche owners and passion of the Porsche owners and their willingness to give was amazing, and we benefited from it. I've never seen that kind of enthusiasm for something they own. Keeping the replicas running and ready for the Mirage scenes was another challenge. We brought in technicians from Porsche so that if something went wrong, they could work on them on the spot and maintain them overnight so that production would keep rolling," said Scott Baker, Director of Marketing Communications for Porsche North America. The location call time was basically 3 a.m., Baker added, and this isn't a single day, but over weeks that they're adjusting to something that may happen in a short sequence and if a car needs to be fixed. And it wasn't just a matter of weeks, but across three countries where the film was shot, and we beat the hell out of them, added Di Bonaventura. "With a big Hollywood movie like this, losing a day of production can cost anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000. If a car doesn't work, it's a big problem." There was a lot of pressure on Porsche to keep the cars running because it's a marquee vehicle when you see the movie. "Each car also had a specific role during filming," Shively said. "One had to go backwards, another had to jump. They are all designed as specialists and had to perform under extreme conditions. We approached it like a competition situation, just like coming into the pits stop when you have to turn the car around and get them back out," said Shively. "Between takes, they have to come off set, go back to keep production going. If you approach filmmaking the same way as you do motorsports," he said, "then you're always going to win." Interesting. So, yeah. Very interesting. Yeah, what do you think? Are you looking forward to going and seeing the Transformers movie when it's released on June 9th? Comment down below. Let's move on to the next story. Meet Project Cosmos, 1,000-mile range, emission-free mega yacht from Apple Watch designer. German luxury boat builder Lursen Yachts has shared video footage of it successfully launching a zero-emission mega yacht longer than two Olympic swimming pools, suspected to be commissioned by a Japanese billionaire. The exterior of the hydrogen-powered mega yacht, codenamed Project Cosmo, is being designed by Apple designer Mark Newson. Lursen Yachts is a legacy boat builder with German roots dating as far back as 1860s. After initially starting out building racing rowboats, Lursen constructed the world's first motor boat in 1886. It has gone bigger and better in this century and a half since that milestone, gaining a reputation in the maritime industry for consistently pushing the limits of engineering and innovation within its unique vessels. Lursen first committed to using fuel cells way back in 2009 and has been operating a methyl hydrogen fuel cell powered plant since 2012. That technology is present in its current mega yacht project, Project Cosmo, which just made its technical launch onto the waters of Germany. It's a work in progress that still has a couple of years to go, but you can already get a scope of its size and uniqueness in design and imagery. Interesting. Take a look at some of the other. Wow. Yeah, let's see. This mega yacht can operate for 15 days without emissions. Larsen Yacht uploaded a new video to YouTube today sharing the successful launch, successful technical launch of the Project Cosmos from its facility in Germany just 5 days after officially unveiling the mega yacht in a separate video. This is the public's first genuine glimpse of the vessel despite it entering year 3 of construction. As you can see from the images above, Project Cosmo is a massive 114.2 meters or 375 feet mega yacht featuring an explorer style profile, meaning the vessel's the superstructure has been positioned more forward to allow for a larger aft deck. Other features spotted from the YouTube footage include a swimming pool and some sort of large cutout, which could be used to stow a separate, smaller, but still quite large vessel, preferably electric, right? Up top, you'll notice what appears to be a 360-degree viewing area, as well as helipad on the bridge deck below. So yeah, comment down below what you guys think. I'll have links to this article in the show notes. And for our last story, Tesla faces a lawsuit for allegedly monopolizing parts and repairs. The lawsuit says Tesla has created a repair prices and wait times that are just way too high. Tesla is reportedly being sued by some of its own customers who are claiming the automaker has monopolized replacement parts and maintenance services that in turn has led to customers paying high prices and has made them deal with exorbitantly long wait times for repairs, the suit says. According to Bloomberg, the proposed class action suit was filed on March 14th in federal courts in San Francisco, Northern District of California. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of Virginia M. Lambrix, is a Model S owner. The suit says that owners of internal combustion vehicles have a plethora of options for both maintenance and repairs. On top of that, she says owners can do the work themselves. That's only half of the equation, though. Lambrix also says those parts can be done with parts from either the vehicle's manufacturer or by third-party companies. Yeah, that's true. Let's keep going. Meanwhile, Tesla owners reportedly have to deal with only one option when it comes to parts and repairs. The suit says owners can only get their vehicle serviced or fixed by either Tesla itself or a network of Tesla-approved service centers that only use Tesla-made parts. The suit asserts that the Austin, Texas-based automaker is violating federal antitrust laws. Lambrecht reportedly says that the limiting factors are due to Tesla leveraging its own market power to keep repair and maintenance services in-house. Bloomberg reportedly reports that, according to the complaint, Tesla has caused owners of its cars to suffer lengthy delays in repairs or maintenance, maintaining their electric vehicles, only to pay supra-competitive prices for those parts and repairs once they are finally provided. According to Bloomberg, Tesla reportedly made $6.09 billion off of service and other automotive revenue last year. That includes paid use of its supercharger network, insurance services, and merchandise sales. So, yeah, kind of goes, you can go kind of goes with the adage of right to repair. It's like right now, there are states out there that don't have right to repair laws in place, and that's what you're facing right now. It's like right now, Tesla, you want to get a part, you have to go through Tesla. And Tesla's got the same approach like with Apple. You try to replace a component or repair an Apple cell phone. You replace one module or even an Apple laptop. They've gotten taken technology to the point where you need passwords and security encryption to for replacing a component in these vehicles as well as these, you know, devices. You know, you can't swap it from the same part from one vehicle to another because they're serialized or compartmentalized to each specific vehicle or to their VINs. So until we can get laws passed where, you know, they can open that up, and it also possibly means that Tesla will have to eventually provide, you know, access to repair information as well as tools. They don't necessarily have to give it away. They can sell it. But the question of the day is how much they're going to be if they're forced to have to open it up to everyone. What are they going to charge independent garages or certified garages for access to those repair tools and parts, you know, so they can be able to reprogram a new component or whatnot? Or are they going to license, be able to license that technology out to the aftermarket part tool vendors such as Snap-on or Accutel with their tool programmers and diagnostic readers? Yeah, comment down below what you guys think. Or do you even bother, consider wanting to work on your own Tesla or other type of vehicles that are getting vehicle specific? So, yeah, comment down below and whatnot. So, yeah, comment down below. If you like this video, be sure to hit that like, comment, share. Be sure to follow us on all of our other social media, platform links. And, that's all I can say. Thanks.